quick season roundup. Jay Willie on the road. Who's a who in 22? The fresh question of the week and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show, sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged, and Multiverse Kitchen. I am joined by my man, Jason Williford, the top associate head coach in the ACC. And I am Mark Jerome. Jay Wills, big news for us.
Big news. I was excited. We got an additional sponsor, too. I'm loving that.
We got a few sponsors.
Multiverse Kitchen. I like that. But yes, big news, man. Big news.
Big news. But before I talk about the big news, I got to talk about Multiverse Kitchen real quick. First of all, Rhines and Rogers, loved it. Awesome spot. We had our last Jay Willie show there before the end of the season.
That was a great show.
Yeah. And we had Kihei Tad on. We had you, of course. And then we had my favorite who?
Isaiah was on. Yeah.
But before that, we stopped at Multiverse Kitchen. And you and I love food. And that was the first time I'd ever been to Multiverse Kitchen. It was delicious.
It's a good spot. In fact, I want to say Jaden and Chase both had marquee dishes for the month of March that Multiverse had. As you can see, my face is a little puffier. So I've been eating well and putting on weight. My wife is telling me I've got to lose weight again. She wants me to get back down to the pandemic weight. So I hope it won't take a pandemic, another one, to get me back down. But that's good eating over there, man. Real good eating.
I had to really be careful. You know, maybe we'll do the Jay Willie challenge. The Jay Willie weight loss challenge.
You know what? I need some motivation. And that would probably help.
We can maybe do like a little fundraiser with it. You know, there's nothing that T-Dubs can't do.
Oh, I know that.
So I know he'll put that together, but you know, and nothing he can't do also includes now an ESPN radio show.
The Lockdown Podcast
is now hosting the Jay Willie Show, the Lockdown Podcast with T-Cove and Ball Hawk, and other shows that we have, and just the Locker Room Access hanging out. So that's really big, exciting news. Big time.
That's big time.
We've come a long way.
Hey, I always tell the guys when there's a turnover in practice, right? And they throw the ball directly to the defense. I always go, da-da-da. That's Sports Center, right? The other team's going down the dunk it. Well, guess what? The Jay Willie Show's got a da-da-da. Cheers to that.
Cheers. Okay, Jay Wills, I'm only going to guess that that's Mountain Dew. Please tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong. That's water. I've been off Mountain Dew. So I don't know if a lot of people know. I got really sick at one point almost a year ago this time. And I have weaned myself totally off Mountain Dew because I was in the hospital for about 5-6 days. So in my mind, I had to change what I was doing. So I stopped at Mountain Dew, been trying to drink more water, but the replacement for the Mountain Dew has been Pepsi. So I don't know if that's much better. but I haven't had a Dew since I got really sick last April.
I'm not a doctor, but I do know that
Pepsi's not a good replacement. No, I know.
No, it's not.
I know. But that's just the way I had to justify it to stop with the Mountain Dew. The Mountain Dew's way too much sugar, way too much caffeine, and I was drinking too much of it.
Now, if Dougie Fresh were on, and you know he's dying to be on right now, he would make an analogy. I think he would make an analogy of replacing Pepsi with Mountain Dew with, you know, something. Dougie Fresh will do it later in the show.
I set myself up for that one. You know, some people drink coffee like crazy and that can't, you know, too much of anything is bad. But I'm trying to do more water. And in fact, if I just stop with the Pepsi, that's probably 20 pounds of weight loss right there.
Yes. Soda is absolutely sugar and soda. Knock that out. Eliminate that from your diet and you lose a ton of weight. Absolutely. Well, are you working out at least?
No.
Okay.
I've got it. I've got to totally change. I've gone away from the workout. You know, the bike. I was doing the bike. I was walking. I said once Austin's done, my oldest is done with school, and we get into, you know, early summer, that I would get him in the gym and get extra shots and get up early and do some working out with him, just to keep him ready for basketball season, football and basketball season. So that is the plan initially upstairs in my mind. And in the interim, I'm going to try to change my diet. Diet is 80% of it.
All right. We're gonna work on that with you.
All right. Let's have a Jay Willie challenge. Jay Willie weight loss challenge. Let's go now till beginning of basketball season, and let's have a challenge to see where we can, how many pounds we can lose.
That's 8 months.
Let's do it.
No. I think we gotta peel some off and then maintain it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's start now.
Okay.
And then have a weigh-in, and then a before and after. And first, let's go blue-white scrimmage. Let's see where we are.
Okay. We're on it.
Let's do it.
We have increased our employee staff, our staff, and we've got Spencer Hensky, son of the famous Thomas Hensky.
Yeah.
Working with us, who's an incredible producer. So he's making us look good, which, you know, for me, takes a lot of work. So we appreciate him. So maybe we'll get him or some of his guys to help. Hopefully they can help out with that. I love the idea. All right. So congrats for getting the show on ESPN Radio.
Congrats to you guys. It's all you guys. Congrats.
I heard your interview, I loved it. That was awesome. That was so cool. And so we thank you for plugging Locker Room Access, and what T-Dubs and has done with this has been phenomenal. Now we have to be a little bit more controlling with managing our time a little better.
Okay.
Right? Because we're going to be doing 12-minute segments while we're on ESPN Radio. And then after the first two segments tonight, we're going to continue on the Facebook Live.
Okay. So then we got off on a tangent with the weight loss stuff.
That's okay. That's okay. We're going to help each other. We're going to help some other people. Some other people are going to help us. Right. It'll be a really fun and healthy exercise.
Yes.
Right. And we got long-term goals. So great. So you'll have to figure out how much you want to lose and how much you want to shave off.
I know the number. I know where I want to be. I know where I am. So, yeah.
All right. Well, you want to announce it now or you want to announce it later?
We want to do it now.
Go ahead. Why not?
All right.
You got three more minutes in this segment.
All right. I'm at 270.
Whoa.
Heaviest I've ever been. 270. All right. My goal is to be 230 by blue white.
Okay. That's great.
That's doable.
That's absolutely doable. 40 pounds in 7 months.
And I want to sustain and keep that off throughout the season. The problem becomes recruiting period in July. It travel on the road, you know, just maintaining that regimen.
And a lot of times you're in these obscure cities where there are not a lot of options. And then by the time you're watching games really late, and what's open, what's available?
Pizza. And you're eating junk. You're getting a soda to stay up because you're driving from place to place. So that'll be the challenge. But I want to make it a lifestyle change. So I'm hoping to do that. Always hard to do. But again, if I can make a few adjustments, I'm looking forward to the challenge. My wife has made it a goal that I have to do. So,
what are you eating at home? And what are you eating?
What am I not eating? I eat whatever I feel like eating, and it's not always good. I'm grabbing a Five Guys on the way home, or you know, picking up the boys from a late practice, and we're all getting something quick because we got to get home and do homework and get to bed and. It's not good. It's not good.
You know, they do have salad spots.
I do like Chop. Chop is a good spot. I go there occasionally. but it's not it's not fun eating chop.
But there's other things besides chop that can be healthy too. So maybe we'll have to put a list together for you.
So I know I want to do more seafood, more fish, that type of thing, less red meat. I'm not a big steak guy anyway, so you know, a little bit of chicken, less fried and processed foods, and trying to do more green, more vegetables. I don't have a huge sweet tooth, so that's not a problem, but the soda is the problem.
All right, we can help with that. And if nothing else works, there's hypnotism. Right, which I need for sweets and chocolate. Chocolate's my favorite. Quick season roundup. Overall, what do you think you guys did well? What could the players have done better? What could the staff have done better? And then I got a little bit, I guess, a deeper question that may be a little bit uncomfortable, but I want to ask it because I think it's important to everyone's, to the players' development and to the team's development.
So, like I said at the beginning, when we started, I knew we'd be a work in progress. We had some new pieces with the transfers and with the first year guys. And then we had new pieces as far as role allotment, right? Guys, stepping into new roles. So early on, just trying to figure out defense and understanding of the pack, rotations and things like that with the post traps. And I thought as the season progressed defensively, we got better. I thought our two-headed monster with Kihei and Reese were phenomenal on the ball and made life difficult on the perimeter for guards. We were up and down and inconsistent in areas. Shooting the ball was always going to be a nemesis, and we knew that. And that's why we often harped on getting stops just to sustain those offensive droughts. But I thought offensively we got better as the season went on, and guys kind of grew into their roles. Kihei, leading us, but Reese was very good, I thought, as the season wore on. I thought Jaden Gardner was very consistent. Armand, once we got into tournament play, postseason play, shot the ball better. With this group, 21 wins, there were about three or four games, and we addressed this as a team and as a staff. There were about three or four games, if we just step to the free throw line, make free throws, they're probably those three or four that could have easily gone our direction just making free throws. So that was disappointing, the way we shot free throws towards the end of the year. And then especially late in games, like meaningful free throws. And so we're gonna make a conscious effort to just get more of those throughout the offseason and be better in that area. But overall, we grew up. I thought the ACC got a bad rap early, and that stuck with us throughout the entire year. I know there were some teams that struggled early in the year, in November, early December, but I thought the ACC showed exactly who they were, us included. For Carolina and Wake not to even make the tournament, but Carolina getting the seed, Notre Dame getting the seed, they got it. I thought that was disrespectful, but those guys represented well and played well when needed to. It just tells you, I think, the depth of the conference and night in and night out, how good the conference is. So I didn't like the narrative that was being portrayed, but it is what it is. All in all, I thought it was a decent season. We expect better. I think expectations around here are higher, especially after what we've done and what we've been doing. And we'll get better. We'll be better for having gone through this. We always seem to grow and learn from those adversities that we face.
As a staff, what could you guys have done better?
I don't know. I think we day in and day out, game in and game out, we put the guys out there that we thought were going to give us a chance to win basketball games. You always look in the mirror and self-reflect. Could you have run a different offense, done something different offensively at times? Not necessarily run a different offense, but do you do something different at times when you're not scoring? How do you get an easy bucket? Do you trap and try to come up with a steal or two? We're probably never going to zone up and give teams a different look in that regard. But, never say never, maybe. But I thought for the most part, we did what was necessary to win and play guys who we thought were guys that were going to give us a chance to win. So, we're still in the self-reflecting phase and going back and assessing games and looking at, looking at things that I think we can improve upon, all the analytical stuff that we look at. I'm not big into that, but I think we got to take a true look at ourselves to figure out, okay, because we bring a lot of these guys back. So what can we do to make these guys better?
And we're going to get to that in a little while. How do you come to terms with beating Duke at Duke, almost beating them at home, losing to Wake at home, and of course losing a undermanned Florida State at home?
It's basketball. It's just a game. I mean, I've been doing this 22 years. You see all kind of stuff. And I kept telling the staff, I kept saying to the guys, look, we're close. Like, this group's really close to there was one stretch where I think we had about six games left. And I'm like, we can win all of these games. We could also lose all of them, but they're all winnable games if we're right. And that's just, that's dealing with college kids and the ups and downs of that. And, if I could bottle up consistency, I'd be a very rich man. But it comes with the game. And quite honestly, there were just different matchups. I thought we matched up well against Duke, particularly this year, and certain teams give us fits. And Florida State's one of them, the way they defend, and they're disruptive in that regard. And but it took a heave last second to beat us. If I'm not mistaken, I think that game too, if we step to the line and make some free throws late, it's a different ball game. So,
what was your overall feeling? And I know Jaden Gardner was Mr. Consistent this year. Great job, right? My biggest question was, can he play in the ACC, coming from the AAC, against these longer athletic bigs? And he showed he could. He was very consistent from mid-range. Even in the post, he had some really good games and strong games, and he rebounded really well. His on-ball defense got better. I thought Armand's on-ball defense got better as well.
I think overall, they all got better as the year went on.
Yeah. Yep. Overall, Armand, Jaden, I mean, I know, of course, we all want Armand to be able to shoot it better, and everybody's pointing at his past years at Indiana, where one year he didn't shoot it well, the next year he did shoot it really well. So some people are saying, well, he didn't shoot well this year, so next year, right? The pattern is he's going to have a great shooting year next year, right? What's your overall consensus and attitude about the guys that came in this year?
The transfers in particular? Yeah, the
transfers.
I'm glad they came in. I'm glad we had them. I mean, I think it was new for Gardner, the defensive intensity, the way we defend. And I thought he tried. I thought he tried hard. You talk about his slides. I thought he got really good on ball. I think where he is continuing to have to improve is the off ball awareness and being in the right position. But that always takes time. I think he'll be that much better this season because of what he went through. And conversely, the same for Armand. I think as far as his shooting, There, you know, maybe one or two mechanical things that, he can do different, but I think it's in his head. I mean, there's no, you know, you shoot the ball from mid-range at a certain clip, and you shoot it from behind the arc at a certain clip. That's just, to me, overthinking and pressing, you know, once you don't make one or two, and you got to just have a short memory and just do what you do. And I think he got on himself. He's a hard critic of himself. I think he wants to be perfect. No, the game's an imperfect game, and you just got to play it. And you just play it free. And I think that's where I think, you know, if he can improve from that regard, not getting too down on himself and mentally beating himself up, I think he'll be fine.
And I thought his form looked good on almost every shot. It was really good looking form. So, Jay Wills, this is where it's going to be a little bit of a test question. How hard did the guys work off court? And could they have worked harder? Could they have gotten the gym a little bit more? And who was in the gym the most off? Who was in the gym the most when they weren't at practice and they weren't in games?
Mark, you're throwing one at me. You're really putting me on the spot.
That's what we do here, Jay Wills. We got to give folks information.
They want access, right?
Yep.
The guys worked, but there's a certain level that this program has had as far as how we go about our business. And some of the best guys we've had in regards to that have been Malcolm, Devin, Ty. You know, Dre learned to do it because of Ty, Kyle, Mama D. You know, those guys, they worked at it. And I think we got to get back to this group continuing to show the incoming guys what Virginia basketball is. So that was a challenge that I gave when we had our exit meetings with all the guys, our end of the year meetings. And for the returners, just being that example. You know, we got guys that are great. They'll talk you through all kinds of stuff, but now they got to show, they got to go, and their actions got to match their words. But they work. But I think there's room for growth and improvement. And that's always a hard balance, you know, with school and the time restraints that we can actually be on the floor with them. And some of that's just them coming in extra, grabbing a manager and saying, "Hey, look, let me get some free throws, or let me shoot a little bit more." Easier to do during winter break when there's no class. I thought a lot of the guys, and I don't know if it was just course load this year with the work, but a lot of the guys came in during that winter break and got some extra work. So that's always easy when we go into exam break and over the Christmas holiday. But I think that's an area where we all need to improve. 1 through 13 need to be better.
All right. Well, we had spoke with Ryan Dunn last night.
Oh, okay.
So his segment's gonna be on the ESPN radio show this Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, to 9 o'clock. And I knew he's known his dad for a while, and I haven't met Ryan. He was almost going to come play for a team I had, and I know some people know him. And I spoke with his assistant coach, with his head coach at Perky Oman. His roommate was a kid that played high school in AAU for me, and before transferring to Perky Oman. Mm-hmm. And they all said such great things about him. They said, I mean, in addition to him just being a great, great kid, that he's a worker. He spends so much time in the gym, and he came on last night and said he doesn't even like to do that much. He likes to be in the gym. Right. So I think that the kids coming in will be easily influenced. And I don't know. I assume that Isaac McNeely and Isaac works, just having conversations with him and how humble he is. And it just seems like that type of kid that really wants to be in the gym. And I don't know Isaac Trout, having spoken with him, or Leon Bond. I think I briefly spoke with Leon Bond one time, but it seems like at least those two get it. Right. Like, they might be those kids you were talking about earlier from the 2019 team where Mike Curtis had to come in and say, "OK, guys,
yeah, you got to get out of the gym.
Get out of the gym.
Right.
That's it. No more. Right. You're going to overdo it. Right. I think I got a call once or twice, like your kid has to leave the gym.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it sounds like you've got a good crew of incoming first years of at least kids that really, really want to work.
No, we're excited about that. And listen, they all come in that way. It's, you know, but then the juggling act of all of the different responsibilities that you have, time management, prioritizing school and getting work done, and then also being able to get a little bit of extra. And listen, it's gonna come at them fast when they get there. They'll be, you know, heads will be twirling and spinning. But you know, I think, you know, if you have it, if it's instilled in you, that always shines and shows. But we're excited about that group. And, you know, they're a good group of guys. They seem to have gelled already.
Yeah.
You know, through social media and staying in touch with each other. So can't wait to get them here.
I watched some highlights of Isaac McNeely. His bounce is crazy.
Yeah, he's got some bounce. Yeah. Like he's a strong kid. He's got to put on a little bit of weight, but he's a strong kid. You know, quick twitch, quicker than you anticipate, more explosive than you think. Really, he's got, there's some Cal guy to him, and he's probably a little stronger than Cal already. But there's a little bit of that, you know, can jump up and get his shot, and he'll finish on your head if you're not careful. He'll go in there and bang it on you. So we like that.
No, he looks terrific, and he's won a couple of championships. He knows how to win. Yep. Right. And that's one of the things that Ryan Dunn's coach said about him. He's a kid that loves to win, loves to compete, and he's humble, and he understands that I've got to work even as good as he is.
Well, what Ryan has going for him is you know, his brother's a professional baseball player. So he has seen what the work can do and what it can produce. And so for him, you know, getting in the gym, working with a trainer, I mean, he's lived that. He's seen that and what that can, the outcome of all of that hard work can produce. So and his father knows what it takes. So, you know, I know his father's Ed's pushing him. And so, you know, we're excited. We're really excited.
What's also refreshing about them is that Ed's not all about, oh, my kid's the greatest. He's going to be playing next year.
Oh, no.
You how many people I speak to, how many parents I speak to who tell me how great their kids are, who aren't even Division III players. Right? And they're going on and on like, are you serious?
No, really? They, you know, I think he understands. Yeah, you know, he knows it's a process and he's trusting the process.
Oh, I got to give you a.
Trust the process. I know you guys don't like that.
It is what it is. Trust the process. We got a few other ones. Any mention of Kim Palm? That's all right. All right. So in addition to the incoming first years, all five starters coming back?
I don't know. Why?
Why? Did you say why?
I mean, Jaden, Reese, Armand, no one knows what Kihei's doing. Poppy. Did I say Caden, Jaden, Reese, Armand, Poppy, all coming back. We got our fingers crossed on the little fella. We'll see what happens with the little fella.
okay.
We're going to see what happens.
Right now. I'm going to let you slide right now. When is the announcement?
I hope it's soon, Mark. He's just get us all. We're all sitting on the edge of our seats. I think Jaden must have said something. Did he say something to Rothstein or somebody? Because it was all, when I was on the road, everyone was like, oh, congrats, Gardner's coming back. So I don't know if that was Friday. When was that, Mark? Last week? He made something official?
I'm not huge on social media. Okay. T-Dubs will send that to us, or Spencer will. Dougie's all over the forums. So when Dougie comes on the Fresh Question of the Week, if we haven't heard by then,
I know it was something. We were all on the road and everyone was like, oh man, congrats, Gardner's coming back. Like, God, I thought he was gone. Like, some dudes want him gone.
Some dudes want, like, who?
Just guys in the league. They were like, oh, he's got to go. So
I got you. Opposing teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll expect a decision from Kihei momentarily.
What do you say?
Okay, of course, Spencer's right on it. Spencer Hanski. Jaden confirmed on Instagram Friday.
See?
We got a crew now. This thing
I like
crew.
It.
Spencer, I anticipate Spencer being the CEO.
This is all fact checks. I like this.
I anticipate Spencer Hanski being the CEO of Locker Room Access.
Hey, Spencer, I got it. Here's a question that I pose to our guys in the office, and I want you to do some research for me. Offensive rebound, second or third shot percentages after offensive rebound. I think they're above 60% field goals made on second and third chance shots. And it could be, I first said as high as 70%, but I think it's a high percentage. It's definitely more than 50%. But I think it's an extremely high number. I would love for somebody to tell me what that number is.
I'll check that out. I know. There's all sorts of analytics all over the place. So I can do some digging.
If you could do that for me, I would love to know. And I, not just college, but I watch NBA games. And when that happens, I mean, you give those dudes a second shot. It's almost money. So I want to know what the percentages are when you give up an offensive rebound, one or two in the same possession, what those percentages are. It's got to be well over 50%. I'm going to put money on it.
Yeah, I think so for sure.
Spencer Hanski making his Jay Willie debut. Spencer, when's the last time you had a haircut?
I'd say it wasn't the last time I was home. The time before that, so I guess it was spring break.
It looks great. Don't just keep it.
Keep it going.
Yeah,
got the fro going. The other thing I wanted to bring up was Carson McCorkle just announced that he's committing to transfer to Wofford.
Good for Carson. It's a good kid. Sad to see him go, but I understand. Wants to play. Wants to contribute. Wofford's been a good program over the years, so wish him all the best.
Very strong program.
Yep.
So we've covered the starting five. I'm predicting and anticipating, thank you so much for coming on, Spence. I'm anticipating the little big guy being back. So I'm just including him. There's Carson. There's Poppy or Caden, depending who you say is in the starting lineup or coming off the bench. What about Cody?
Statman.
Is there another Cody? I'm not.
Cody's graduated.
Okay. So is he gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Jaden Nixon gone.
Jaden Nixon graduating.
Looking to transfer.
Looking to do a fifth year at a good program. And he wants to go into medicine. So looking to find a place that's got a major he can go into and play that last year.
Malachi's
looking to go and wants to play and contribute. And he's got some options.
He's got some good offers.
Yeah.
Southern Illinois?
Yeah, he needs to not mess around here for those guys, take somebody else. But yeah, he's got a couple good schools. So we wish him the best.
Milicic?
Igor, I think he's down to three or four. I don't know exactly who. I think the Fighting Sanchez's are in there, UNC Charlotte. But I don't know exactly who else. So,
what did he need to do to get some more playing time?
I wanted him to stay. We all did. I thought he had a chance to earn some playing time this year. Patience, get better defensively, but it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get out there and play and contribute early. And, but just patience. But he's a hardworking kid, good kid. I'm sad he's leaving us.
I wonder, and I'm gonna maybe ask Spencer to check on this one too. Spencer's got a guy who's really wants to get involved with, and I owe him a call. And Spencer, we'll talk about this later too, who wants to get involved with the UVA program. And he's really big on analytics. And I forget the gentleman, young guy's name, who's I think a first year, second year student. So Spencer, we got to talk about that. But I'm curious to know what the percentages of first year guys playing or freshmen on other teams playing now with the transfer portal being so popular and coaches pulling guys out of the transfer portal as juniors and seniors because they're seasoned and they have experience and they're stronger and bigger and faster, right? So how many young guys are playing? But then also, I think that plays a huge part of it. Like, who's got the patience?
Well, it's a microwave society. You know, we've gotten to that point where everything has to happen immediately, right? There's, you know, I know you don't like the word process, but there's no more trusting of that, right? There's no more kind of fighting through adversity and growing and going through the growing pains of having to sit and wait your turn and learn. But that's just the sign of the times. And yes, the transfer rule does not help because guys can leave right away when they want more playing time. And conversely, we can get guys with experience in the portal. So, you know, you got guys going in and we're pulling guys out of it. So, I feel bad for some of the high school kids because I think high school recruiting is taking a hit because of it. And so I don't know where the game is going, but it we're in it and we got to figure it out and use it. Quite honestly, we're going to have to use it to the best of our ability to be the best team we can be and fill holes where necessary. But, you know, some programs did a really good job. Miami's done a good job for one. Wake Forest did a hell of a job and won a ton of games with all the transfers. You know, everyone's taking transfers.
I think Miami had an average age of 37 last year.
Yeah, they were old. But, you know, some of those guys like Wardenburg grew up in their system. Long grew up in their system. I'm trying to think of who else. That they went and got McGusty. You know, they went and got the kid from George Mason. They went and got Charlie Moore, who
was at 15 different schools and
we played against him when he was at Cal. Like,
in 2016.
Yeah, they did okay in it, right?
They're great. Look at the results.
No, you know, so, you know, if you can get chemistry to work early and those guys the right blend, you know, it can be a good thing. You know, what I don't know moving forward is how you ever get young guys to grow and be old in your system when they can, it's so convenient to leave.
So when is there a correction that guys high school kids will get recruited as they had been in the past instead of coaches poaching or picking from the transfer portal?
I do think once you get through where this COVID year that everyone's still got, once you get through that, because that, the one-time transfer plus the additional COVID year makes it crazy, right? Because now guys are in school. But I think once those guys are out, then I think there may be a correction. But, you know, we still got, God, if I'm not mistaken, we still got 2-3 years of
I was going to say, is that 3 or 4 more years?
Yeah. Like, so I want to say Reese's class is the last of the COVID guys where they get, you know, I think Reese, what year? This technically is Reese's
freshman year.
Yeah.
First year.
Yeah. So he's still got 3 if he chooses, right? So I think once you get through that, there may be some type of normalcy, But there's never going to it'll never be the same because of being able to play right away. And in addition to playing right away, Mark, when you transfer, you get the immediate transfer, one-time rule. But if you graduate, you still have an additional year, right?
I can't get over the fact. 6 years is one thing. I think we identified three to five guys that were in their seventh year. Kansas had one.
Who?
I can't remember his name.
Not Lightfoot. It feels like it might have been Lightfoot.
No. It was another kid. I was watching the quarterfinals, or I forget which game it was, with Ty. He's like, that kid still play? He was the year ahead of me out of high school.
Yeah.
Incredible. 7 years in college. Wow. I hope the guy's got a master's in some field. Incredible. All right. You got out on the road last weekend?
Went out, Orlando, and Indy.
YBL. Nike EYBL was in Orlando.
Nike was Orlando, and Indy was Adidas and Under Armour. So, we were out. All of us were out. Tone was the one bouncer. He went both places. He went started in Orlando and finished at Indy. So we saw some talent. We're excited about being back out. Kids are playing hard. It was fun being in the gym. It was fun. I got to see my oldest. Austin's now playing on the EYBL circuit, so got a chance to follow his 15. So now his 15 team travels to all the live events that I'll be able to go to. So that makes it fun, being able to watch him compete. So I was a nervous wreck his first game.
How'd he do?
Did well. He started. Started that game, came off the bench the rest of the games, played some minutes. So he was good.
What position is he playing?
As a wing, 2-3. Sometimes they small ball 4, but mostly 2-3.
That's awesome. And he's with Team Takeover, correct? Where did Team Takeover stay in Orlando?
Say again?
Where did Team Takeover stay while they were in Orlando?
I got no clue. He was with the team. They had practiced the day before. They practiced Thursday. They flew out Friday morning. He sequestered with the team. They take their phones. I love it.
Yep.
So it's all business. So I love that for him. Only time I saw him was at his games. And then the last game, they gave him his phone back, and I told him, thanks, but he's with me now. So we flew back together instead of him flying up to Baltimore. They flew out of Baltimore. I said, I got him from here, so I'll get him home.
That EYBL thing is incredible. It is an incredible machine. If you haven't seen it, try to check out an EYBL game if you're close. And Orlando, I guess, is a fairly fun venue, although I'm not a huge fan of the city of Orlando and have been there way too many times. But now with my little guy, I may have to go back.
He's too young right now.
No, not to play ball, but to like go to Disney or Universal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Things could be worse. So I don't mean to complain, right? Things could be way worse. Like I could be
Disney. That whole wide world of sport is a big time setup.
Oh, it's huge. Huge. And you got to enjoy. What did you think of the basketball in general?
It's good ball.
Yeah. You remember I told you about a kid a couple of years ago who just committed to Duke out of Jersey. Yeah, I was trying to get us on him early. There's a guy I know out of Jersey who I met, and he's a UVA alum, and he was like, oh, man, this kid is so good. So, yeah, he's playing in this program, the Scholars, and 6'9", really good player. Some people compared him to KD. And unfortunately, just committed to Duke. Yeah.
It's okay.
where do you go next?
Great question. We got Easter weekend off. The following weekend is back out. I'm probably not going to do the Nike guys and go see either Adidas or Under Armour guys. And they're Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I want to say Kansas City, I think, or is it Louisville? One of those spots.
And don't forget, you're going to monitor your diet.
I'm going to try. I always do this at the beginning of the recruiting period. I always say I'm going to grab like trail mix, banana for breakfast, drink tons of water. And I end up getting a Coke, bag of popcorn, and a slice of pizza every time I go.
Dude, it's so hard. It's so freaking hard. You know what? We're getting short on time. And I know my man Dougie Fresh has been just waiting and waiting and waiting. Dougie, I am so sorry. Dougie, how you making out? You want to join us? I know he's just chomping at the bit, ready to come on. He might have fallen asleep.
We probably answered his question.
I'm here. You guys, you answer my question every time. I had easy ones. Is Kihei staying? Is he going? Where's Igor going?
Dougie, come on. You didn't know we were going to talk about that.
Of course. I didn't know. Now you're more cerebral than me, man. Jay Willie, have you noticed how Mark Jerome has started to like steal Havlicek's jokes though? He's becoming funny like Hav.
Well, he's growing in his role with the shows, right? And he's getting a lot more comfortable. And yes, that's how you keep these shows going. You keep the podcast going.
Well, Marky's more refined than all of us, but he also, I've noticed the inflection of his jokes and his funniness is me and Hav's influence, I think.
He's been around you too long. You guys are rubbing off.
Hey, man, we talk shit on like three different levels.
Here we go.
A lot of fun.
There you go.
I knew it was coming.
Boom.
He got a ding. I got a ding. I knew it was
coming. First of all, I just want to talk about this year's team in 5 seconds. I have no idea why, Jay. I really loved you guys' team this year. Not so much the COVID year. I'm not sure why. Well,
Reese, I know why, Dougie. Come on, we all know Reese. Why. Yes. Yeah.
But I like the team, man. I like the guessing and Poppy starting instead of Caden and different little things that happened along the way. I thought was interesting. And I thought they played hard.
Well, and I was gonna say that, Doug. Like I know you appreciate the effort that they gave us, right? Mm-hmm. They laid it on the line every night. Now, some nights we didn't look good, but it wasn't because the effort wasn't there, right? It wasn't.
Yeah, I never saw a lack of effort. And that, you know, that'd be the first thing I'd harp on, and so would you.
Right.
For sure. And so, by the way, there's a thing on forums and social media now calling Poppy mauling somebody's face. So the rabid UVA fans are like, Poppy, just maul somebody. I don't know if you saw one game. He went for the ball and he grabbed somebody's head like it was the ball, just trying to find something, which is fun, man. Fun dudes, man. Cool guys. The whole thing. But here, serious question. Not really. So who's got next is our recruiting expert at Locker Room Access. The dude knows, and he's kind of sucked me into it. I used to never care. Like, whoever comes, right? We'll follow him. We'll see him. Malcolm, Ty.
Fresh, you're going to lose sleep. Oh, if you stay on those forms and all that stuff, man, it's gonna drive.
No, but you understand. I sleep. I can sleep. Don't worry about
All right.
I sleep. I'm not. It doesn't get me crazy. I just follow it a little bit, right? I'm not done. So I'm just thinking. I've watched a lot of Isaac McNeely, and I'm a Polka Dots fan, and I'm friends of the family there. They actually the school sent me some shirts, the whole thing. So let's say a kid comes in, and you're a coach. And you have the pillars, but a kid comes in, they're all great kids. There's no question about that. But let's say you have a dog. Let's call him Isaac McNeely. This is my opinion. How do coaches say, when you're on the court, you can't be nice. You're fighting for playing time. Off the court, pillars, the whole thing. But let's say some kid comes in, he's young. You know, Reese was a little bit that way. I don't think Reese was a bully or, you know, forced himself in, but how do you deal with that dynamic? Let's just say a kid comes in, he shoots the lights out, somebody else is not. And I saw it with Justin Anderson with you. First time I ever came to a practice under TB, I think, in the summer. Anyhow, I'm overrunning. Does that make sense or no?
No, help me out. So I'm lost, Fresh. You got
so me first, lost. First years at UVA, you talked about it. There's no patience, but let's just say a kid comes in the summertime and you're like, we think you're going to play. You cannot be nice on the court. These kids are all good kids. They want to be nice. They want to know their teammates. They want to fit in.
Right.
How do you steer a kid to become a dog in the if he is an alpha, if he is a dog.
I think
you have your ways.
No, I think that stuff works itself out. Like okay. You've been on teams. Like think about my class.
Right.
Like Corey and June, it just worked itself out.
Right? I get that part. I was on the other side of that for sure. Yep.
So like as much as the coaches may try to, you know, you pump them up and you get them ready to go, I think that their game speak for the sport itself. Like,
okay,
those dudes are going to compete, you know, and competition is a good thing. We got some competition, you know, this year at spots. And so I just think guys kind of separate themselves once we play.
Right.
And then obviously, so like London Parentes, for example, when London first got to Virginia, it was easy to see, like, coach, he's got to play. Like, I said to Tom, I don't know when you do it, but that's our starting point guard. Like, at some point, he's got to go into the starting lineup. And it didn't take long for London to go get that spot as a freshman. So I think their play will dictate that. I think, you know, we'll see that early.
But you don't think there's ever a point when a coach says London or somebody you're deferring. Reese, you're deferring London.
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
There are times when you're like, hey, go ahead.
Right.
You belong. There's a reason you're here. Stop turning down shots. Stop being unaggressive. Like, drive. Get to the basket. Right. Defend. Lock him up. Don't let him score. Like, absolutely. We do that stuff. But I most of the time, you know, you see it and the guys know, hey, I belong. Like, I can do this. Like, but obviously as a coach, you know, I mean, we've said that numerous times to guys. Like, look, be aggressive. We want you in this situation. Shoot when you're open. Ball's in your hand. Make a play. Like we've done that.
No, I get it. That's the thing. And I think for me, like, remembering when I played, older guys telling me, yo, you know, you got, like, you're open, shoot it or do this or whatever. I think that's within the team. And I've started to watching your guys' team, and I'm not worried about it because I'm not on the inside, but I just don't necessarily see that leader and that guy prodding other guys on, but you know way better than me on that. So,
I think the guys do a decent job of that. You know, they're always encouraging. Kihei at times will tell Gardner, stop shooting too much.
of course.
But, you know, we need Gardner to shoot.
Kihei has that experience. He knows a little bit. Yeah, so that's different.
Hey, you got to turn that one down. Didn't you see him? Or, you know, like Kihei gets it. So I think those guys, you know, they police each other. Player-led teams are always better than coach-led.
Sure.
And we got a coach, another coach on the bench and in the locker room with Chase Coleman. I mean, that dude does a phenomenal job.
That's awesome.
Of seeing things and relaying them to the guys in real time, like in huddles, after practice, during practice. Like he's good. He's another voice.
I tell you what, that's interesting, man. It's something I never saw in college, is a bench dude being able to have the freedom to have that voice, right? Like, you know, he's not going to play much probably, or I don't know if he's a walk-on or scholarship player, what, it doesn't matter to me. I've never really seen that. That's pretty cool, man. Good for him.
Well, he'll serve him well. Yeah, he wants to be a coach when it's all said and done. We give him that freedom. You know, he's a scout team point guard, so he knows everything the other team's doing. Yep. You know, so he's got their plays down. He knows what they're doing defensively. Like he's seeing stuff, and he said, "Hey, they just ran that," or they'll call out a play. Yep. And he's like, watch this, you know, watch this action. So he's on it.
Because he's earned it, though. You don't get that. You don't get that voice unless you find it, right?
Right, exactly right.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to next year, man. Go do your thing. Recruiting, I got a lot of questions, but we can't talk about them.
Hey, Fresh, first of all, what are you wearing right now? Is that a jacket or is that a sweatshirt?
It's a sweatshirt. It's a hoodie.
Oh, okay.
This is New York. This is New York. That's Charlottesville because the Empire State Building was lit up in our colors 2019, April 8th. What was it? When Mark's son barely got to play in the national championship game and we won it all? Yeah, another TW smash here. So I put it on for the show. It's warm today here, man. 70. I'm good.
I was going to say, is it cold up there? It was
70. 70. 70. Yeah. Big sun, the whole thing. I'm good, man. I'm tan. All of it.
Dougie, I thank you for being so patient tonight.
Man, you took all my questions. I was like, 12-minute segment, 12-minute, like trying to – I talk to myself when you guys are talking. I have so much shit to say. But you guys are great. You guys have a great rapport, man.
Mark, I need to hear it, Mark.
You didn't hear it?
No.
Only because you said ding right on cue.
Jay Willie. By the way, the talk about healthy habits and that, we all have a thing that happened.
Yeah.
And we all need to get on the same page.
Well, and that,
and I'm not immune, by the way. You always remember me as being like the greatest shape guy. It's not the fat. It's not true. But I think Mark took the lead with that. And I have a lot of opinions too. Oatmeal, water, Mountain Dew, no Mellow Yellow.
I think that spearheaded my thought process.
Yep.
I recently lost a cousin unexpectedly to a heart attack. He was 48 years old. So, there are a lot of things that have brought this on. And so I think it's important that we do take care of ourselves, health wise, eat better, sleep better, exercise more. There's certain life experiences that have led me to want to do this. So,
but collectively, if we do it all day today together, like week to week, whatever it is, check in three times a week. I did this. What'd you do? I did this. You know, but I'm gonna tell you, when you go to the transfer portal for soda, that shit never works. So you can't like transfer Mountain Dew to Pepsi and think you're winning. That's not the Pepsi challenge.
On that note, we gotta wrap it up because we've got Sam Brunell waiting for us.
Oh, Sam, it.
Yeah, we gotta.
I can't wait to be on the Sam Brunell show. I'm kidding. I know I'm not invited. All right, man. Go Hoos. Keep doing it, man.
You're the greatest.
I love our squad.
For being patient and jumping on with great questions and commentary.
Come on, man.
Dougie, how the forums doing? Really quickly. 30-second answer.
Oh, the forums are bored. We got into like a Virginia Tech talk today, Bass Tech, transfers, who's coming. It's actually gone downhill. I talked about my Chris Long story. You don't even want to know. It's not even – they don't even know the half of it yet. They'll find out.
Next Jay Willie show. Crew. Next Jay Willie show or on ESPN. Radio, we've got to tell it. You got to tell that story. It's hilarious.
Jay, you have no idea how smart, how these dudes, like, I try to throw some shit out, like something about happened. They're like, nope, it wasn't like that. Karate pass to Turner, Turner pass to TJ buckets. I'm like, damn.
So, and they remember.
No, it's insane. And the analytics off the charts. You want to talk about analytics and you don't want to hear what they say, but that's another story. The guys are smart. You don't just throw nonsense like I throw it out.
You better have your facts right, huh?
They come back with the facts. I'm like, come on, man. Anyhow. All right. But Habs got his Habs world going on there, too, which is hilarious. Things he hates, good. Things he loves. Yeah. All right. Love you, boys. Love you guys, man.
All right.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Jay Willie show, the best.
All right, Jay Wills, we got to wrap it up. As I said, Sam Brunell waiting for us. Need to let folks know, once again, we are sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged, and Multiverse Kitchen, which you... when you go there, are going to get Edwards and no muffin. Those, oh my God, those biscuits are ridiculously good. I need to lose 5-2. So I'm going to be
with you. I got
to
lose 40. That's all right. Easy.
All right. Well, we're going to work on it together. I'm going to be there to support you. Great job tonight. We missed you. Haven't seen you in a while. Thanks so much for doing a great job as always. For Mark Jerome and Jason Williford, this is Locker Room Access. And congratulations again. I'm going with water this time because I finished my wine a little bit earlier, to having the Jay Willie Show on ESPN Radio.
Hear, hear.
Talk to you soon.